Welcome to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. In the background, you'll hear the theme song playing, Heart and Soul, a song that's been around for a long time. Many of you have probably played it on the piano. For a while, and maybe permanently, we're going to use that as our opening theme song along with these announcements. So each week when you hear this, you'll know it's time to come to the radio for the Heart and Soul broadcast. Also, we want to remind you these programs are available on the web at www.heartandsouloutreach.com and also at www.kweb365.com. You'll also find puzzles the entire family can enjoy. Each week we have Sunday school on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., followed by morning worship at 10:55, an evening activity at 5 o'clock called the Heart and Soul Hour, which is preparatory for this broadcast, and then Wednesdays at 6:45 we have classes for all ages. Again, we're so glad that you've tuned in today. We hope you receive a blessing as you listen today to the Heart and Soul broadcast brought to you by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas.
It's always a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to sing with my kids. This song, this is I Need a Savior.
How many times can I use to explain the love of my Jesus? The life that He gave. And so many times will I praise You today. I lift up my life, 'cause You're always the same. And my all
Jesus. Savior.
Thank you, Granthams. Amen. You may be seated.
Strong and mighty.
didn't have to go looking for mercy because mercy came looking for us. All we had to do is accept it. When we found ourselves in our deepest need, that's when mercy came running.
Once there was a holy place, evidence of God's embrace, and I can almost see mercy's face pressed against the veil, looking down with a longing eye. A mercy must have realized that once His blood was sacrificed, freedom would prevail. And as the sky grew dark and the earth began to shake, with justice no longer in the way, prisoner set free. I passed all my failures to the point of my knees, when the sin that I carried was all I could see. And when I could not reach the mercy, mercy came running unto me. Once there was a broken way to human from the start, and all the years left it torn apart, hopeless and afraid. The walls I never meant to build, well, it left this prisoner unfulfilled. Freedom called, but even still, it seems so far away. I was bound by the chains from the wages of my sin, and just when I felt like giving in, mercy came running like a prisoner set free. I passed all my failures to the point of my need, when the sin that I carried was all I could see. And when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me. Sometimes I still feel so far, so far from where I really should be. He gently calls to my heart just to remind me that mercy came running like a prisoner set free. I passed all my failures to the point of my need, when the sin that I carried was all I could see. And when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running like a prisoner set free. I passed all my failures to the point of my need, when the sin that I carried was all I could see. And when I could not reach mercy, mercy came running to me.
In Acts chapter 9 and verse 15, the Lord said unto him, now this is God speaking to Ananias, his servant, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name. He's a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. The book of Acts is a great book, and chapter 9 is one of many great chapters in that book. It deals with the radical transformation that Christ can make in a life. The chapter begins in verse 1 with Saul of Tarsus breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the church. But by the end of the chapter, this one who hated preachers is now himself a preacher and preaching Christ even in the synagogues, according to the text itself. Ananias couldn't believe it. God is going to call this preacher to go down and help this new convert. And Ananias said in verse 14, I've heard by many of this man how much evil that he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And so he said, God, why would you ever choose that guy? And the Lord said in our text, Acts 9:15, he is a chosen vessel unto me. I want to preach on we are God's vessels. And I would ask the question, what does the Bible mean when it calls the Apostle Paul a chosen vessel? A chosen vessel. Well, first of all, what is a vessel? According to the American Heritage Dictionary, it gives several definitions. We'll not give them all. But it means a hollow utensil, something hollow, empty, such as a cup, vase, pitcher, used as a container. That's a vessel. And then there's a nautical usage, a ship, a craft, navigating on water. We say that it is a vessel. We call that boat a vessel. Now, number one, a hollow utensil, something that holds something. Stay with me, something that holds something. What is the nautical definition? Something that carries something, a boat across the water. In anatomy, it is used for those ducts, canals, and tubes that run through your body, containing the fluids of life, your blood, for example. And so we speak of the blood vessel. And so it is something there through which another thing flows. And then another definition is a person seen as the agent or embodiment of a quality. For example, vessels of mercy. We say concerning those dear souls who go out and minister that they are vessels of mercy. And again, it is one thing that holds another thing. The one thing is not the other thing, but it is a thing that holds another thing. Now, God said of Paul, he is to me a chosen vessel to bear my name. He's carrying my name. He is my container. Let me point out a few simple thoughts about vessels. Now, ordinarily, I use all sorts of mnemonics, memory devices. This sermon did not lend itself to that, and I will not use them. But I will say some simple observations. Vessels are made for the use of others. In other words, a vessel does not exist for itself. In the book of Romans, chapter 9 and verse 21, has not the power potter over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? You see, a vessel does not decide how it will be used. It doesn't say, I believe I'll be a tea container, or I believe I'll carry coffee. No, no. The vessel exists for the use of another. And it is used however the owner and the master of the vessel chooses to use it. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. And so the owner of the vessel, the master of the vessel, will decide how the vessel is to be used. We observe from that verse that a vessel needs to be clean. It says, if a man purge himself. So there's a vessel needs to be emptied out, a vessel needs to be washed out, and a vessel needs to be clean. I don't know about you. I think I do know about you, that you wouldn't want to partake of a vessel that was a dirty vessel. It would be defiled. And so if we are God's vessels, we are to be emptied out, and then we are to be made clean and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And then number three, a vessel, once it is empty and clean, to serve its purpose. It needs to be filled. An empty vessel does nothing for anyone, but a vessel needs to be filled. By the way, we today are not to be full of ourselves. We come to the Lord's house and we need to be emptied of self, because only then can we be filled, you see, with the Spirit. A vessel is something that is full of something other than itself. And so if we are full of ourself, we will never be used of God as a vessel. Even Saul of Tarsus, with all of his pride and arrogance, had to be knocked off his high horse and humbled to the point where he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You see, he had to be emptied before he could be filled. And so today, if you're empty, you're a candidate. If you're empty, then God can fill you. God will keep filling a vessel as long as there's room for the filling. In other words, as long as there's an empty vessel to be filled, God will keep filling the vessel. Many metaphors in the Bible. I preached here one time on the subject, "How deep shall we dig these ditches?" Little Granny Adams was here then. Our crowd was much smaller then. But little Granny walked out the back door and said, "I'm a ditch digger for God," because God filled those ditches they dug with water, you see. And the point was, how deep do we dig these ditches? Do we want a little blessing, or do we want to dig a deep ditch? And Granny said, we're to be ditch diggers for God. Well, many metaphors. We're to be vessels for God. And as long as God is looking all over this building trying to find an empty vessel every service. In 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, there's a delightful story about Elisha the prophet. Maybe you know the story. The Bible says in 2 Kings 4 and 1, there was a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets. She came unto Elisha, saying, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead." And so her husband has died. "And thou knowest that my husband did fear the Lord." She said, "He was a good man, and he was an honorable man, and he served the Lord." But she said, "We had debts, we had bills we couldn't pay, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." She said, "The creditor is come." Now this morning's message is metaphorical toward my nation. The creditor is come. We're paying debts and bills that have been run up, and the creditor is come. And we go to our bill post, and there's not enough supply, and there's an emptiness. Well, this was this little woman's sad situation. Her husband was a good man, a godly man, a preacher, but apparently had little income, and now he's dead, and she's left with nothing. And the Bible says, Elisha in verse 2 said unto her, "What shall I do for thee?" What do you want me to do about it? What can I do about it? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? By the way, the prophet looked immediately to say, what can we work with? What asset is available? What resource is there? What hast thou in the house? When you're in a mess, it doesn't do any good to whine and pout about what you don't have. You better look around and find what you do have that you could begin to work with. That's what the prophet did. What do we have that God can work with? She said, "Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil." She said, "All I've got is a pot of oil." Well, the prophet said in his mind, we'll work with that. God can work with that. In verse 3, he said, "Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few." He said, you go vessel hunting. And said, you send your sons out vessel hunting, and you find empty vessels, and borrow not a few, you get as many as you can get. And in verse 4, "When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and thou shalt pour into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full for you." And so she went from him, shut the door, and brought the sons brought the vessels, and the Bible says she poured out. And then look in verse 6. "It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed." At that point, it stopped because there was not another vessel to be filled. And then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil and pay your debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. The point being, God can only fill what is made available to him to fill. I know as soon as the oil stopped, they were thinking, oh, I wish we'd have had another vessel. I just wish we'd have found another vessel. I just wish we had more vessels. You know, God looks at his church today and somebody says, why aren't more people being filled with the Spirit? Why isn't there more joy in the Lord? I'm going to tell you why. God fills empty vessels. And the problem we have had in America is we have been so full of ourselves. We've had no room for God. You can't fill something that's already full. And so God is looking for a people and for vessels that are not already full of something else. You know what church really is? It's a gathering of vessels. The question before us is, are the vessels already full? We as Americans, our lives have gotten so full. Many people can't even come to church ever because their lives are too full. They just never have time for God. And then the sinner comes in and he's so full of his own self-righteousness that he does not come to Christ. And he walks out lost. And why did he walk out lost? Why was he not saved and filled with the joy of the forgiveness of sins? Because he was already full of something. He was already full of himself and of his self-righteousness. And so in order for God to fill you today and make you a vessel, he has to bring you to that point of emptiness. Now, once a vessel is filled, let's go a step further. Once the vessel is filled, then a vessel then needs to be poured out. As long as we're willing to, first of all, get empty before God and admit our need and our emptiness, then let God clean us up so we'll be a fit vessel, then God can begin to pour it into us. But once he begins to pour it into us, then we've got to begin to pour it out.
You've been listening to the Heart and Soul broadcast, brought to you each week at this time by the Central Baptist Church of Whitesboro, Texas. We're so glad you tuned in today. We'd like to invite you to be a regular listener and to invite your friends to listen as well. It's our heart's desire that we might be a blessing to you and even to your family and friends. Especially if you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, it would be our prayer that you would embrace the gospel, the good news of God's love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again. And if you'll repent of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, receive Him, then you'll be saved and you'll be born again. If we can be of service to you in any way or about anything, please give us a call, 903-375-3222, or email us at blessings@heartandsouloutreach.com. And again, we want to thank you for listening, and we'd like to invite you to listen again next week at this same time to the Heart and Soul broadcast.